Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Hello, hello, hello. Joining me today is Pat and John. We are so pumped. We have some great things that we're going to be sharing with our audience. We're so glad to take in all of our new listeners. We're so glad to take in all of our new listeners and about to enter into a whole new realm, and we're excited about it. We're excited about it that, my goodness, God is doing some awesome things. He really wants so many people to hear what he is saying. The Lord speaks. The Lord speaks. I'm trying not to be distracted here. We got somebody dancing around the studio right now.
It's really difficult.
Just close your eyes.
And just talk. Right. There you go.
No, I'm actually trying to hear from the Lord here. Oh. Can you imagine Moses like, what was that ninth commandment? What was that ninth commandment? Excuse me. John was bumping his mic and knocking around. Well, the Lord would say unto you these nine commandments. Can you imagine having that?
Imagine.
Oh, wow. Your mic matches my shirt today. Well, you know, if you missed any part of EFN Radio, right? Those eight commandments. This is John. Are you? Hello, man. Hey, goodness. We're so glad to have you with us today. We are just
glad
so glad,
glad to be here.
You have joined us. I said, yes, I said, yeah, I wouldn't hang my headset on that mic. Oh, no, it doesn't affect the mic at all. And it looks like it's in rescue right now. So anyway, another word not heard. Listen, about these eight commandments, can you imagine going to the top of the mountain, trying to hear the Lord, and a lot of distractions going on? And today, God is speaking to us, and if we don't hear clearly, we won't even hear fully what he is saying.
All right.
We won't even hear fully what he is saying. In the context of, I'm sorry, I have a little difficulty in the studio going on right here. Right. There we go. Okay. About the two commandments. I mean, think about it. If he would not have went alone with God to be able to hear God, then he could be distracted and you cannot hear the Lord. So think about it. That he went to go seek the Lord to hear him clearly what's going on. And so many people think that it's not a big deal to, you can just say anything, do anything. It doesn't matter what you're doing with your flesh. You can just, you know, whatever God is saying, you can share it. The truth is that you can be distracted and you can miss God because God whispers. God is not going to sit here and reiterate 15 times to you. He's going to just say it very specifically. And because, you know, Moses was willing to go alone to hear what God was saying, he was able to come back with 10 definite, firm expectations of what it is, what the values of God are to us, mankind, which we call the 10 commandments. And people, you know, a lot of people say, well, oh, you know, that the 10 commandments are something that, you know, is done away with. It's not done away with. Jesus didn't come to do away with the commandments. He came to fulfill the commandments.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And through his grace and his empowerment and his mercy, that we understand since that is valuable to God, then that's valuable to us. And so we begin to pattern our life in view of his mercy off having no other gods but God. Mm-hmm. I mean, today, you think about the first commandment alone. I mean, if we just focused on, if we came back with two and it was like the first two, I mean, the first commandment alone is no other gods. And how many people have made gods of different religions? But hey, money, self, your home, things, I mean, all kinds of things that you when God asks you to do something, the first thing you think about is your God, and it ain't him. And he says, you shall have no other gods before him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, you know, we got to lay everything down. We got to consecrate everything. Listen, because we live under the blood of Christ, and because we live in the dispensation of mercy and the grace of God forever how long it is, and it seems like it's wrapping up quickly, that we can correct ourselves. We can reboot. We can go back to Jesus and to our first love and to say, dear God, where did we end up? Sorry, God, I was wrong. I've made gods out of money. I made gods out of America. I made gods out of the way we do church. I made gods out of my denomination. I made gods out of my made a god out of my marriage. Mm-hmm. And the biggest thing is what the church has done is making gods out of ourselves. And where everything has to be filtered through you before you decide if you're going to follow him. And that means you came first, God came second. I mean, you don't see it that way. You just see it. That's just how you live your life. You first, God second. It's very important that, you know, God's jealous. I just want to encourage you this morning. If you've been frustrated in the context of the first commandment, it's because you've made someone else, maybe even yourself, God. And what you're so frustrated about is because you're not a good God. Mm-mm. I mean, you're limited. You're blinded, obviously, because of pride. So you don't really know what's going on. So you got to look around and say, have I made myself a God? And the people around you will go, oh. You know, I was wondering 5 years ago if you were going to bring that up. I just thank God that, you know, this decade later that you brought that up. Oh, yes. We're those little planets that kind of revolve around your pain. And in the context of that if you're not a good God, you're obviously not being able to provide for yourself, and you're worried and fearful and anxious and demanding and walking around offended all the time. And, you know, you're thinking about, you know, me, myself, and I, because that's your God, right? Mm-hmm. It's idolatry. And in that, you're like, you know, I want to be happy. I want to be filled with joy. And people even talk about the things of God. They're just like, they make you feel bad for just having the joy of the Lord. Hmm. Now, even to the point of if it is a fiery furnace, it's just like, hey, what an opportunity. What a way to go. You know, what a way to be able to be a witness to God. You know, I was just talking to a local businessman, and we're talking about, because today is the anniversary of 9/11, and we'll be talking about it. And you think about the flight. What's the flight number coming from Pennsylvania?
93.
And he's the one that done the research.
Wow.
And the flight 93, I think he's, because he can relate to what happened on flight 93.
Oh, can he?
You know.
Yeah, take them down.
Yep, told you. That's exactly
take
it.
Take them down.
You know, and of course, you think about it. If you're on a flight 93, a proverbial flight 93, and you know this is it. I mean, if you're being walked to a fiery furnace, that's flight 93.
Mm-hmm. That's flight 93.
If you are going to visit Bethlehem with a loudspeaker proclaiming that Jesus Christ is the only way to God and Muhammad is a false prophet, that's flight 93.
That's flight 93.
That's flight 93, since it's under Muslim control. And if you are in Iran, and you're saying that the Ayatollah is, you know, just a little
off,
and not Jesus, and just a little off in his doctrine, that's flight 93 for you. But you know what? I mean, you think about flight 93. These guys, when Vine Fellowship Network University was launched, it was launched with these words, the words of flight 93. Because right now, for America and the church, Christians and Jews, we are in a season of flight 93. Mm-hmm. And we could be cowards that don't do anything, and somehow just hope that these jihadists flying the earth around right now want to us to have a nice, prosperous life and want us to continue to evangelize people into the kingdom of God, naivety, and do nothing. Or we could be, I mean, I'm in tears every time I think about these guys and I hear them as they call. And they're finding out what's going on, and they're calling their wives on the phones, and you know, and I know some people that are so cheap, they would have not picked that phone up because it would have cost them so much money. It would have cost them so much money. And I got some other people that are so legalistic, they would have thought, the flight attendant said we're not supposed to use our cell phones.
Right.
Exactly. Know, I was like, oh my goodness.
Like
oh my goodness. Yeah, right. You see the sword and the guy flying the plane?
Yeah.
I think it's beyond this. The guy that actually said don't pull your cell phone out, he's the one smushed over there in that coat closet
right.
with it muzzled up right now.
Hmm.
Okay, getting beyond America. Okay, and so you're on flight 93. I admire these people. And so they're calling, they're getting their own intelligence because they knew they couldn't use American intelligence anymore because our president was called by surprise at the daycare. He lies go real wild, like, what? I mean, his lips didn't move. You can see his tongue's like, what? And all of a sudden, you know, they're finding out and their wives are saying, listen, a plane just hit the Pentagon. You know, they hit the Twin Towers. They are planning on driving this plane into something, and they concluded, and you think about it, if our eyes are open right now, and God has given us eyes, ears, and ears to hear, and we're listening to the Lord, and we don't have the idolatry in our life, we're not walking in sin, you know, we've repented of it, and we're hearing the voice of the Lord, we would be just like these guys on Flight 93.
That's right.
And, wow. And we'll be saying, we're calling, talking to God in our abiding times, and God's going, hey, it looks like this is their intention, this is their battle plan, this is what's going on, this is the strategy to be able to harm America, to harm Israel, be able to harm Christians, you know, this is what's happening with the Kurds and the Christian Kurds, and this is what's happening with the Jews, this is what's happening in Syria, this is what's happening in America, this is what's happening with embrace of the Muslim Brotherhood and the Homeland Security, I mean, all these different things. And we would conclude like they did. We would conclude like they did. We would say, okay, we see that this thing is going down. This thing is going down. And by the way, if you go to the VFN Torch, get to it at VFNTV.com, you will actually see and read a prophetic word the Lord gave me in a dream and a vision of America as a plane going down. Mm-hmm. It was going down. And you would conclude, hey, you know, the intentions are to take this plane down. Now, obviously, if you can take the plane, if you can take the pilots out, then you can fly the plane.
Mm.
So you got these two battles going on. It's like, hey, maybe we can get the leadership again of our nation. Maybe God can take over the stick for the plane again and begin to fly America and upright her again. And what God showed me was a brave leader. When I first had this, was a different leader holding on to the stick or the steering wheel, the stick of the plane that was in a dive towards the earth. And if you notice what happens when the wind's hitting it so hard, it just starts shaking. So he was hanging on to the steering wheel or the stick of the plane, this huge plane from the Oval Office, and it was shaking and shaking and shaking. It was like he was just holding her steady as long as he could, but the inevitable crash. It was like the captain that was willing to go down with the ship, which is beautiful because instead of just like, run for your life, jump out of the plane. He held on as long as he could. And just so you know, the crash began well before our current leadership is in. This is something that's been going on for some time here. And in the context of it, you would realize the signs of the times is this is Flight 93. And, you know, maybe godly leadership, maybe people have a fear of God and a love of God. Maybe people that will remember, how did America get here and how did we stay here? And if you didn't hear that, you need to hear that. You got to hear the whole thing because we got here by a reason. One nation under God is not a pun. It is an original intent of God before Israel left. One nation under God demanded a king. And God's revealing that to us. We're learning and we're sharing that with you, and you got to hear it. And so you would conclude, you know what? You would say the goodbyes to your friends, loved ones on your phones. And what happened? They got voicemails. Some of them call back and got voicemails, and they're calling in. And think about your last words your last words could be a great witness of where you're going to be. Yes, my God can deliver us from Flight 93, but even if he doesn't, he's still God.
That's right.
And I want to encourage everybody that's hearing this voicemail today that Jesus Christ is Lord, and to be absent from this body is to be present with him. I am going to go by God's grace and believe that God will empower me to deliver, and all of us to deliver this plane, this nation, back into his hands again. But even if he doesn't, even if we go down into the fields of Pennsylvania, I want you to know that God loves you. God's got a plan for your life, and you can turn back to him. Make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Boop, right? Boop.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how many times they're going to play that? They're going to play that every anniversary.
Yep.
No, then you say this. Right before you say that, you keep, stay on the phone. Stay on the mic. Stay on the television. Stay on there. And look at all the folks that are with you, the few that said they would go. And then you say, let's roll. Let's roll.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes click. And then the news begins to report the struggle. And we stand in awe. That plane hit so hard in Pennsylvania that you couldn't even recognize. It dove straight in. They're going back and listen to the black box and the peaceful religion, Islam, pilots. Who were talking, they were saying, should we just take it down? Should we just destroy it? Ali Akbar, Ali Akbar. Should we just drive it down to the ground, or do we think we should still fly to the Pentagon? I was like, peaceful religion? Hello?
Wow.
They're talking about, should we just take it down because they're trying to overtake us, which was the heroes of 93? Or should we just try, you know, they were battling, they were deciding, should we kill them now or kill more later and them?
Right.
And it's like, what have we done here? That we can't identify when we listen to the black box recording of what's happening in the cockpit, and the enemies are praising Allah, trying to live out a jihad, their greatest achievement for Allah, which is dying in the name of Allah and taking out somebody who is at odds with their prophet, who our president says the future does not belong to the United Nations. And they said, let's roll. You know, I just really feel when we launched VFNU through a prophetic word of God, I mean, that was the whole word. It's like, okay, I understand we're on a bumpy ride here. I understand that who's flying this thing right now is not for God. And it's not for God's way. It's not for the original intent of this nation, one nation under God. Understand that in God we trust is on the edge of the coin. I mean, go figure. I mean, it's amazing to me. What's amazing to me is how much Satan doesn't know.
Mm-hmm.
Because if he would have known, he wouldn't have crucified Jesus, because it was his ultimate defeat. But it's like he didn't know. And then you hear God, when God's speaking, he's saying things like, who will partner with me? Who will I send? Who will I send down what will I do to be able to turn Ahab around? What will I do? And he's involving us in this whole thing. And so many people are waiting for God just to go, you, go. And that's Islam. God is waiting for someone to say, here I am. Send me. God is waiting for someone to make Jesus Christ the Lord of their life, become his disciple, learn how to hear his voice, my sheep know my voice, and follow another, to abide with him, which means you're going to hear what he says, and you know what you're going to say after he tells you what to do? Even if it's your Flight 93, you're going to say, let's roll.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Can a public school exclude Christian groups from using their facilities? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
Yeah, I would like to know if facilities form at a public school can state that religious activities or religious organizations are prohibited from using facilities.
Absolutely not. We've litigated that case now 3 times at the Supreme Court of the United States. The first time we won it in an 8-1 decision. The second time the case was unanimous. Even the third time, which was an elementary school level case, we won 6-3 overwhelmingly. So the answer is no. There cannot be a religious exclusion from access to a generally available public facility. If they allow community groups to utilize these facilities, they cannot deny a Christian group from utilizing those facilities because their message is one that has religious connotation, religious thought, or religious belief.
Join the American Center for Law and Justice in defending our religious liberties. Find out more at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
You know, when you're thinking about your relationship with the Lord, I mean, life gets hectic, you know. John, I mean, you think about it. You know, you got your work, you got your family, you got, you know, friends, you got, you know, just everything's pulling at you. You know, your nation's pulling at you. You know, you're just, it doesn't matter where, it just seems like everything just kind of pulls at you. And there needs to be some sort of epicenter of peace, you know, someplace that is a place that you can abide. You know, just I can get to my secret place. You know what I'm saying? And really, because, you know, being a believer, if you're listening right now and you're a believer, that wherever you are, you know, the kingdom of God is not a matter of relocation. It's a matter of revelation, and that you can realize that right where you are, you can, God wants to meet with you and meet with him. Yeah, you need to probably get, you know, most people really want to abide with God, but they just need a simple plan. You know, everything's coming so quick. There's so much information hitting you. You can't find rest anywhere. But let me tell you something. You're going to need to find this rest, and you're going to need to abide under the Lord's wings of a secret place, because, you know, it's just going to increase. It's not going to decrease, right? All the stress that's coming, because it's actually a strategy of the adversary to mess you up. But let me tell you something. God had this day in mind. You just need a simple plan. And you can go, as a matter of fact, John, you can go to iabide.org. We have that simple plan waiting for you right now. iabide.org. You know, you have iPhones and iPods, but go to iabide.org and read a little bit about abiding. If you want to request a simple plan, just request it there, and it'll come right immediately to you. A video and some information to be able to help you could start right away in your abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. You've been trying to conquer some things in your life and some personal struggles. Let me tell you, that's why Jesus died. He died to be able to empower you to do that. But you can't do it on your own. You're going to need to be empowered by God. And that happens, like he told us in John 15. It happens when you abide with him. So go to iabide.org and find out that the Lord will empower you to walk this walk that he asked of you at iabide.org.
You know, you might be listening to the VFN radio right now and begin to hear what God's doing and how God has touched other people's lives. And then you might be asking yourself, you know, can God really use me? And you might be taking an account and looking back and what you've done in your life and think that God can't. Well, I want to encourage you that you can read stories and read through the transition of how God encountered other people's lives and look into to see what God did. I want to encourage you to read and check out meetmyfather.org. And on the right-hand side of that, you'll see read other testimonies, read other stories, and you can see how God used people just like you to draw people to himself. meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is John and Pat. We are talking today and just remembering 9/11. We just finished talking about Flight 93. Let's roll. I mean, I really admire them and their stand, and I'm thankful to their families. We just pray for their families of Flight 93 and just say, you know, what people of integrity, your sons and your husbands and wives and daughters were to do that. And there was serious tussle going on. But I feel like right now in America that we are in Flight 93. I feel like we're America's Flight 93.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to be willing to say, okay, we first got to get right with God, like Jehoshaphat did, when you understand we're in the valley of decision here. We got to humble ourselves, seek the Lord's face, begin to abide with him, because apart from abiding in him, we cannot do anything. It's John chapter 15 when Jesus is talking to us. But then we listen to what he says, and guess what? We just say, let's roll, let's go do it. Mm-hmm. Let's do what God says. What a concept.
Yeah, wow.
What a concept. And don't filter it through our finite minds. Don't filter it through the size of our bank accounts. Don't filter it through the size of our armor, like Saul did when they were trying to defeat Goliath. Filter it through your knowledge of the goodness and the power and the awesomeness of God, who is over all nations, all powerful, who's created everything by his spoken word, and he holds all things together. The Jehoshaphat perspective. And then just look up to him and just say, what do you want us to do? And when he says, do it, all you do then is just say, in your heart and in your head, not just your head while your heart's terrified. Mm. Running fearful into a battle is like running naked into a fire.
Right.
Not smart.
Mm-mm.
And in faith, begin to roll. Just do it. And, you know, get over it. Die already. Everybody's so trying so hard to live. And I'm thinking, for what? For your next reality program or something? I mean, from my perspective, if I was living your life, I'd want to die. You know? What are you really doing? You don't read. You don't travel. You don't talk to people. You don't have relationships. You don't read the Bible. You're 81% of the church don't read the Bible. You're fearful all the time. And you're complaining about your boss that God blessed you with. It's like, do you really, or why not just go ahead and die to yourself? Pick up your cross. Pick up your cross. Deny yourself. I know. It's wild. Is it not wild? It's so wild. It is so, look in the mirror right now and say, I'm going to deny myself today. And then follow Jesus. I mean, it saves you a lot of money in therapy. It saves you a lot of arguing your half of it, because you don't have a half anymore. You're dead. It's no longer about you. It's about God. And it is about him. You just become to this reality that, right. Yeah. The air I'm breathing, the life I'm living, the image I'm created in. Oh, it's God. It's God.
Mm.
You got to see this thing. I mean, obviously God was dealing with Pat and he shared it with us. But it's a powerful thing. It's a very powerful thing.
Do tell.
What happened?
Do tell.
Let us know.
Well, it was a thing that it was very timely. And for some reason, he sent it to me.
I didn't get it.
Did you get it?
No, I checked it.
I'm like.
Then he made sure that I got it.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah.
I sent it to you twice.
Oh, he just wanted to make sure you knew he was right.
Oh, okay.
Speaking of that, let's see what it says.
What does this
say? Let's see what it says here. This is what it says. And this is important. It's just the simple definition of what by Ezra T. Benson, the difference between pride and humility. Remember, God resists the saints. No, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And it says, pride is concern that Pat's right. No, it says, pride is concern.
You need some help over there?
No, I'm trying to read it. I gotta get my glasses.
All right, here we go.
Hold on. I got it. No, okay, relax a little bit. Hey. Humble yourself. Okay, listen. listen.
Oh. tilt.
Pride is concerned with who is right. You notice how he's trying to make things right away? Pride is concerned with who is right. And humility is concerned with what is right. That is so, I mean, that's a huge profound, because for years, I'm talking to folks and I'm trying to figure out, I don't understand. I mean, it's green. And that is not even their issue. Their issue is not the fact that it's green. It's the fact that they want to be the ones that recognize they told you it was green. Like, you don't even think in that way, because pride's like saying, oh, I don't care about reality and what God's saying or anything. I just want you to know my place in this thing.
Mm.
You know, what about me in this thing? And if you have a humble person talking to a prideful person, I mean, they're like missing each other by a mile. You're going to find contention. You're going to find strife. He said, you know, where there's contention, that there's pride. And what you do is you have someone that's thinking about who's right. I mean, even look right now in regards to America and the church pointing the fingers to this person, this government official, this political party, that political party, instead of that's pride.
Mm-hmm.
The response would be, what's right? What does God expect from us? What does God expect from us? And he expects humility. Humility is defined as total dependency on God and respect for other people. People are not our fault. Your whoever is not your fault. You're your own fault. Your spouse really enjoying that right now. You're your own fault. Turn the radio up. We'll say it real loud so your children can hear as well in the back seat. You're your own fault. Right? And think about this. It's so important because if we humble ourselves before the Lord,
mm-hmm.
then we're no longer, we're digging into the Word of God and we're abiding with God to find out what's right. And believe it or not, people really will spend their last dying breath without telling you, I'm fighting for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Right?
So I hear, I don't know.
So, yeah. You know, speaking of the saints, I was listening to the interview of Drew Brees.
Really?
And this is what he said. I was really surprised because they did well. Not because they did well, but because they went through this big journey or whatever. The New Orleans Saints is what I'm talking about. Drew Brees, he's the tight end. relax.
I'm fine.
Okay. No, he's a quarterback. He said, yes, the defense, because they're the one that won the game, Drew didn't, and said, they're playing with pride now. They're playing with pride.
Mm.
That's why we're doing good.
Oh.
And I thought, wow, is that pretty profound? You know, playing with pride. And it's like, you know, God resists. I mean, think about this. The creator of the universe resists the pride. The only thing you have left after God resists you is religion. That's all you have left. You have a form of godliness. And I'm telling you, I mean, look at all the religions that are around. I mean, they're, don't think you can't go a long time thinking you're right when you're wrong.
Oh, yeah.
And, but humility brings us to, I mean, sort of like the religious man, Jesus talking about the religious man and the other man, maybe tax collector. I'm sure that's what they talked about all the time. No, big shout out to all of our tax collectors out there. That the tax collector falls to his knees and beats his chest and says, woe is me, you know, I'm not going to make it. And the religious man says, I'm glad I'm not like him.
Mm-hmm.
And how many people, prideful people, are focused on the who, and they won't even touch the what. They won't even reach out to the lost. They won't, because they're just thinking, like, I'm trying not to be them.
Mm.
Because they are who they are. The pride is about self. And when you look at 95% of the church in America, according to George Barna, will not go out and reach that man beating his chest. They won't go out and win in their entire lifetime. When one person, think about this, one person to the Lord in their entire life, they won't tell somebody. They're ashamed, potentially. Think about it. It must be. For 65 years, for 70 years, for 50 years, for 80 years, scared, terrified, and ashamed of Jesus Christ. And he says, if you're ashamed of me before men, then I won't even bring you up to the Father.
Mm.
And it's like, this is not some optional thing. This is just not, it's just not optional. But for some reason, you know, we'll pay $1 million for somebody else to do. And so we're like back down with you know, Pope Gregory here in Rome trying to buy our salvation with the and that's what they would do. They would sell it. They would say you could buy repentance, you could buy things. And so today's church, it's not the same lingo, But if somebody says, how much money can I send you, give you to go out and win a soul?
All right.
Did you ever think telling about your coworkers about God? Well, they'd never believe I was a Christian the way I had to work. And it's just not optional. And this is really a huge thing because it's just a reality. A reality is that pride is concerned with whose is right. And that's when you see right now the church is doing in America. It's what happens in marriages. It's what happens in families. It's what happens in gatherings. And it's like we got to humble ourselves. And humility is concerned with what's right, which means that's somebody in the Word of God trying to figure out, what do I need to do? How do I need to change my life by God's grace and God's mercy? And a man who does not read the Word of God, who calls himself a believer for the purpose of transforming his life, is a man with pride.
No doubt.
Because not only is 81% don't read their Bible, only 3% of the 19% that do read their Bible even make any life-transforming decisions based on it. Which means, dear God, help us for the pride. God's, we're wondering why it looks like God's resisting America right now. Could it be because we're thinking about ourselves? Mm. Don't you understand who we are? We're America. Mm. The very last words that Israel said before they went into bondage. And it's like, come on, please, let's don't repeat that. And man, just really makes you think about it. So I want to encourage you, just simple truth today to soak on. And I just want to thank Pat for sharing it with us. And, and the practicum is pride is concerned with who is right, but humility is concerned with what is right. And what is right now is to repent and turn back to God. Let him hear and let him heal our land. You know, I was doing my research about America, how we got here, and how we stay here, I found out a pretty interesting thing. I found out, and you know, God was just downloading and taking me here and taking me there and connecting this and connecting that. But do you remember a cleaner that was called, you know, Comet?
Mr. Clean?
Well, not Mr. Klein. They had like Comet.
Comet. Mm-hmm.
And then they had Ajax.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember Ajax?
Uh-huh.
I mean, in the midst of all this revelation, I find out where that comes from. Because when I'm looking at all the, you know, how we made it from, you know, King James to today and all the things we just talked about Friday or whenever we talked about it the last 2 days, is In 1589, 424 years ago, this year, John Harrington, he invented the first flushing toilet. A water closet.
How about that?
A water closet. And it was Kelston Bath. He had one in his house, a bath
room
house.
Oh, close.
Good attempt. Good attempt.
I mean, think about it. 424 years ago, 425 years ago, it was really rough in the world. But 424 years ago, and obviously it took a while. That was the first, so it takes a while for the new iPhone to get around. Mm. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And John Harrington invented the first flushing toilet at his house in Kelsington Bath. I'm sure it's called Bath. And he called it Ajax. He called it Ajax.
The bathhouse.
Yes, he called it Ajax.
Hmm.
And the reason why is because Queen Elizabeth slang for going to use the water closet, or obviously she didn't have one before that,
right,
was Jax. She would say, I gotta go to Jax.
I see.
And so he's like, hey, we'll just call this new invention Ajax. Eventually, of course, Mr. Clean took over, and now we just clean the jacks.
Wasn't there another guy, though, too?
Oh, here we go. I don't know.
What is it? Tell us.
Bring the phone thing up. Go ahead.
No, I just remembered another guy.
Well, go ahead. Tell me. Hey, 1589. I don't remember.
Mr. Clean? Who?
Go ahead. Let's talk about it.
We'll talk about
it.
I'm sure you're right.
I'm sure you're right. Go ahead and tell us. All I know is
I don't know the details, so I'll just.
Oh, you don't know the details? Oh.
Remember you told me about it.
Think about it. 424 years ago, John Harrington invented the first flushing water closet. We call it a toilet. In Kelston Bath, he had it in his house right there. And Queen Elizabeth, she called the Elizabethan era there, they called it the Jacks. Therefore, he called the toilet Ajax.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We found another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's the Torch newsletter. Every week, the Torch goes out into your email, whether it's on your phone, tablet, or home PC. The Torch newsletter is going to give you the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. It's also going to give you all the latest highlights. Of course, you can sign up by going to VFNTV.com and selecting newsletter sign up, or you can text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch newsletter now.
Go to VFNTV. Go to VFNTV.com. This is VFN Radio you're listening to. Go to VFNTV.com and go to VFNTV in your menu, and you'll see a prophetic teaching about this generation. It's called This Generation. And it's time for us to wake up and respond. And it's going to encourage you, because it's going to give you a perspective that if not, the things that we won't give up now, God will have taken away from us.
Mm-hmm.
He'll look, and there's raiders coming in as we speak, trying to raid the coffers, the government, the taxes, the freedoms, the Constitution, all these different things. But understand that God is allowing that. He's not doing it. He's allowing it to take place. It's his permissive will because of the choices that we've made, and he's intentionally allowing it. It's intentional. There's always somebody that wants to raid you,
mm-hmm.
but he's keeping them back. And then, you know, if we don't respond, it just escalates and gets worse in regards to that. Even being sold as a slave to your enemy. You know, slavery didn't start in America. Slavery's been around since day one. Even mm-hmm. Jesus said, you know, as Christians, you know, slaves obey your masters as unto the Lord. If you can get your freedom, get your freedom. So in the context of that, it was just an everyday conversation then. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be sold to my enemy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't want to be sold to my enemy. But I can't be in rebellion to God and think that the end's going to be good. You know, and it may happen on an individual basis. You got to listen to this. Listen to it. It's called This Generation. And what it is you have a pagan generation. But it's not unusual for a generation who has not yet received or didn't receive the gospel being transferred to their generation to be paganistic. But there's hope. There is hope. And God has a way to do that. Go to VFNTV.com and choose VFN TV on the menu and look for This Generation and begin to listen to it now and share it with your friends. It's a prophetic word for this day and this time.
You know, being from Detroit, you know, there's a lot of different things that go on, you know, from New Jersey or, you know, down in New Orleans.
Well, they don't have football there, do they?
No, but they do got hockey. They got
hockey.
Check it out. Yeah, they got an app for, like, hockey rules. They got an app on, like, how to make ice. They got an app about, you know, the preseason, the postseason. They got an app about how to watch hockey.
Wow.
Is that designed to make you go to sleep, or what's the purpose of that?
No, that's to what to watch when you can't watch baseball.
Baseball.
Or football. You got to check it out.
But really?
Did you know there's an app for the VFNTV.com daily radio program?
I didn't know that.
Now, yeah. Talk to me. That's talk the app I want.
Yeah, tell me. I mean, even people who do watch hockey got to check this out. Go on iTunes, go on your Android and type in VFN TV, and you hear all the content. You hear everything that we got going on right now, the daily live VFN radio program. It's like taking VFN TV with you on the go. Check it out. VFNTV.com.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is Pat and John, and we were just talking about focusing today on 9/11, remembering the tragedy that took place at Ground Zero. You know, John, talk to us about, obviously, you know, you had some time to be there in Ground. You and I went to Ground Zero together, actually.
Yeah, we sure did.
And they were building at that point.
Freedom Tower.
But we were there. Were we there at Freedom Tower before they even got the first? They were. It was still down in the foundation area?
No.
What was that building that was down, still down? They were still building something else.
That's the memorial.
Okay, they were building the memorial because it's down in the ground.
The water, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It's huge. They just about finished completing Freedom Tower 1. There's four buildings going to be on that property, but they're just about done with the first one. And it's going to be really, really nice. It's actually really beautiful. But speaking of the World Trade Center, I mean, I actually been in those towers. My father used to work as a stockbroker years ago for Shears and Lehman Brothers, and that's where their offices were. In fact, one of his friends actually passed away during the World Trade Center attack. Mm-hmm. But those buildings, I mean, it's so hard to get a perspective if you've never seen those buildings before. And even from the tallest building that you could imagine, I mean, they were huge. I mean, it's amazing. From the top of those buildings, you could literally see all the way into New Jersey. I mean, wow. It was just amazing.
So people look like it's completed ants. Now, the Freedom Tower is.
Yeah. You got little things on it. But even that, I mean, that height, when you look at it, we'll have a picture for you on the torch. I mean, these things were so huge. When you could see the buildings sway. From one building, you could see them sway back and forth. When you're up there, you could feel it almost.
Wow.
Yeah, it's amazing. But it's horrific when you think about what happened down there and you think about all the people. And this is the hub of the financial district. I mean, this is Lower Manhattan. This is near Battery Park. The amount of people that were there. I mean, we walked through there when we went into the city and went by the New York Stock Exchange. I mean, it's just constant flow of folks. And to hear all the stories of what happened and all the people that were killed and just the debris and what it took to take all of that debris out.
You know, you think about this, though, you know, and I had a chance to watch a professor out of, I think, Brigham Young University who did a study. He is a physicist, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And just how things physically react to each other. And something as tall as both these buildings were. What the first thing that happens, I mean, always there's a little tilt. I mean, there's a little angle. There's a little, nothing ever falls perfectly straight down,
mm-hmm.
You know. And you can think, it's like, wow, that's like Jericho. You know, the walls just went straight down.
Right.
Yeah.
You went straight down the first one, then you can say, okay, all right. But then it went straight down the second one.
Right.
And then they say, well, that's the building design. But there's one building that they don't talk about that was there, not these Twin Tower buildings, but it was a normal design building, not these real tall ones, but it was very tall. And it fell the very same way, the way an implosion would take place. When they implode buildings, they put explosions in certain areas to cause the building to fall, to cause minimal damage.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it was the mercies of God, or there's some strategic plan by someone to make a statement,
mm-hmm.
because somebody says, "Well, then the government has to be involved in that." Not necessarily.
Right.
Evil people can go plant, you know,
I mean,
explosives in certain areas and simultaneously set them off. Remember back during President Clinton's administration that there was a the same jihadist mindset was down in the underneath the Twin Towers and set off a bomb underneath it.
Mm-hmm.
And people come barreling out of the Twin Towers with black smoke in their noses.
I was in the basement. I remember that was working at that time.
In the parking,
parking garage.
And they wanted to take it down from the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about it, they decided you can't take America down from the bottom, but you can take her down from the top. So let's just fly planes into the top of things. They tried blowing things up at the bottom, and that didn't work.
Mm-mm.
And it's interesting, too, that it was during President Bill Clinton and his wife, Hillary Clinton, which is Secretary of State now.
Former.
That they, of all the things that happened during their administration, well, this would happen, and they started the CARE organization. They actually were part of helping CARE start, which is Islamic and American Relations.
Yeah.
This whole organization now that is reportedly has a lot of connectivity to a lot of things going on. And it's like, why would you want to start an organization? And now you look, now all these years later, it's like the most traveled Secretary of State in the history of the world that we came, we saw, he died. Unquote. That is the quote of Secretary at that time, Hillary Clinton, in regards to Libya. I mean, you think about that.
And it's on the torch. You know, she's laughing at the end of this statement. She was giving an interview, did not know that that was being recorded in the interview. And it's a really prideful statement. And when you think about what happened on 9/11 at that time, you know, in the area of New Jersey, this is one of the highest concentrated areas of people that are from the Middle East, they were actually celebrating. They were actually celebrating when that occurred on 9/11. When you think about what have we allowed in our country that have Americans, so-called Americans, celebrating such a tragic event that happened on that day?
Well, as a matter of fact, we have it right here. We actually have it. This is the statement that we're talking about right here. This is when she was Secretary of State in Libya, which 12 months ago today, because we want to talk about 9/11. On 9/11 in Benghazi, we lost four Americans that were murdered. Now those that have witnessed it have been forced not to be able to talk, being polygraphed, they say, reportedly, every 30 days if they've talked to anybody about what's happened there. And this is what happened to get us to that point. And this is the one that walked out with the president, hand in hand, shoulder to shoulder, and had a funeral for these four.
Received the bodies.
Received
the
bodies in a hangar. But listen to what was said that began this.
Yes, we came, we saw, he died. Yes, we came, we saw, he died.
What is basically,
you think about
I
it,
guess,
what's
kind of
happening
summary.
Here is that's our Secretary of State, and they're talking about taking out a leader. And is it how many kings can you kill before you're the next one?
Right.
Yeah, I'm just curious, you know.
Yeah.
And so here we are in regards to going over there, and this is the beginning of what would cost Chris Stevens, the ambassador Stevens, and the three
Marines
and people that protected them, and all this oppression since then on those that had witnessed it, but they're not letting them even talk. They're not saying what happened again. And in the context of that they're calling somebody who did talk a whistleblower when all he was doing was just saying, they called me. Ambassador Stevens called me. He said, we're under attack. We need to send resources right there. And they said, stand down. Don't send resources. And this is the person, this person right here. You can listen to her now. This is Secretary of State, then Hillary Clinton, talking about what she did with the president of Libya.
We saw, he died. Yes, we came, we saw, he died.
What is
you think about that? That is what, that was the beginning phases. And so she's the one that says, Ambassador Stevens, can you go over here to the Libyan embassy? We're going to pull back security from all the different embassies for whatever reason, because we don't have resources to put them there. And she was the one that would receive his body. It was just like, just her and the president were the only two people. And she went and told the father of one of the victims that it's because of this movie.
Right.
That after it was stated, it still only had approximately 40,000 views on YouTube after it already hit the press.
Wow.
We're remembering 9/11. Today is the anniversary of 9/11. Join us in the extra hours. We continue this conversation about Benghazi. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at VFNTV.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at VFNTV.com. You're listening to VFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side. But a conversation, you'll be surprised. You have to keep your brain active. And personally, you know, and this is how my brain works, and maybe if you're a different kind of design of a brain, you have to have complete silence so you can hear yourself talk to yourself. I don't need to talk to myself. And you have to hear yourself think. Yeah, look at that. His eyes roll up in his head. Gerbil? He goes, that's true. That's actually, I needed to hear myself think. They're the ones who go, shh, I'm thinking.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, no noise.
All you do is snap your fingers and they're lost. Where am I? What happened? But to me, it just makes my brain just fire off everything. And I just love to hear good, you know, positive, you know, conversation. And there's nothing more positive than talking about the things of God and God's perspective behind the news and, you know, wisdom moments. Think about wisdom is the proper application of knowledge. You can go to college for, you know, 4 years, 6 years, 8 years, and you can be knowledgeably ignorant. And it's a shocker, you know. Doctor, see right here, this is how you start your car. You know, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because there's so much knowledge. It's like, but you got to have wisdom on how to apply that knowledge. And we hope, you know, in the conversations that we're having, we're sharing with you the wisdom that God has revealed to us. How do you live your day-to-day life? That's wisdom. How do I apply, you know, the word of God to my life, the commandments of God and all that? And it's just, I love VFN Radio. You know, when I'm not saying it because I'm part of it, is the fact that I listen to it when I'm not on it because it's the word of God. It's a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I encourage you to get a device, a radio or an something or an something, and put it on your desk at work and, you know, put it by the kitchen sink and just carry it with you or whatever and just listen. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Think about it. 24 hours, 7 days a week, all around the world. You can hear VFN Radio. And if you miss a segment, a segment that you just like catch a half of it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be disappointed like it used to be. Oh, I'm just so disappointed. I'm sure the first part of that was good. You can actually go into the highlights or go to the VFN Torch and you can hear the whole segment. The whole segment. And in addition to that, you can have podcasts downloaded into your devices. And podcasts are so cool because you can keep them forever in your own storage device. But be encouraged. Understand that this is very, very important because as the days progress, although it gets darker and darker on the outside for the church, for those who love God, it gets lighter and lighter. This is what the Word of God says. He says, your peace in the midst of chaos and trouble and disaster is a witness to those who don't know God. He says, it's a witness to them letting them know that you're going to be saved by God. God's going to protect you in it. But to them, it's a witness that they're going to be destroyed unless they know God, which is a witness. You're just having peace. And by listening to VFN Radio, you can keep that peace. You can keep that peace so you can be a witness. Sometimes your greatest witness is to sit beside somebody while they're watching the daily news and just relax and have a cup of coffee while they're biting their fingernails. It's like, what? I mean, really mean it. You know, not, they aren't faking it. It's just like, what?